would give Elizabeth a minute to multitask. She's taking the children out. Let's have a prayer for the children. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for Elizabeth and the children as they leave us. We pray that you would be with them, that they would be able to learn more about you. Lord, we thank you that you've brought them to this place. And Lord, we praise you that for the first time in a while, we having to take children out of the services, there's enough of them to do that. Lord, we thank you for that blessing. And I just pray that you'd be with them in the name of Jesus. So, the reading is from Matthew 23, verses 34 to 40. It's a very well-known reading. Matthew 23, 34 to 40. Just give you a minute to find it if you are doing. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on to these two commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Right, let's see how good your memory is. What did I ask you to remember? Only about 5 minutes ago, before the hymn, there was a phrase, and I said, I want you to remember that phrase. You're a murderer, act like one. Doesn't the memory play tricks on you? Wasn't that long ago, was it? Absolutely. You're a murderer, act like one. The theme of this sermon was going to be, you're a Christian, act like one. It's not. It's changed to, you're a Christian, don't act like one. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Think about it. You're a Christian, don't act like one. Being a Christian isn't about acting like anything. It's not about pretending to be something you're not. And that's what acting is. If you think about it, when you watch things on television, acting is about people pretending to be something else, taking themselves out of their actual what they are and acting a part. Being a Christian isn't like that. Which have the reason that it's don't act like one. It might be, I think it is more of a female thing. I'm sure you'll shout at me for this, for being sexist and all the rest of it. But I don't know about you fellas, but come the winter, I don't go up into the attic and bring down all my winter clothes and put away all my summer clothes. Do you not do that either, Jean? Oh, it might not be a woman thing, then, but Elizabeth does. Elizabeth, she's not here, I can talk about her. I'm glad she's out with the kids. But, yeah, just before winter starts, just before summer starts, the whole wardrobe gets changed, and you've got your summer clothes in there, and the winter have gone, and the winter, and that's just the way it is. Does it happen with you, Paul, no? No? No, maybe it's just an... Does Lila do that? Excellent. I'm glad other people do it. Yeah. Being a Christian's not like that either. It's not like wearing a winter coat and 1 minute putting it on because it's cold, and the next minute taking it off and storing it away until the weather gets better. And yet we do it, don't we? Or do we? That's what we're here to think about this morning. Do we put our Christian clothes on for the appropriate times and then discard them during the week when we don't need them anymore? Do we have our church clothes, our church faces, the way that we act at church? And is it different than the person at home, the person in Tesco, the person driving, the person at work? Is it a different person? Are we acting like a Christian? Because that's not the way that God intends us to be. Acting like a Christian is worlds away from what it means to be a Christian. And that is what God calls us to be, a Christian. We're not imitating Christ's external behaviour. We're not copying what Jesus was. We are becoming like Jesus. And there's a world's difference between the two. And the world sees the difference between the two as well. They know when you're acting and when you're not acting. Being kind and compassionate and merciful, they're all good traits. They're all good things. But acting them out is different to being them, to having them in your core. I was talking to Christine the other day, yesterday actually, and she went to see the doctor, and the doctor was talking to her about her back and how it's going to heal. And he said, what you need to do is to build up your core strength, which is all the muscles here. Build up your core strength and you'll straighten up and everything will go back to where it should be. And it made me think about this message. If we have our spiritual core in the right place, we will become what God wants us to be. We're not pretending anymore. We're not acting anymore. We are what God wants us to be. So how do we make the change from acting like a Christian to being a Christian? Well, the first bit's in the reading. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. As we focus on the Lord and we build that intimate relationship with him, spend less time going through the motions of what we think a Christian should be, we will become what God wants us to be. Do we copy people? Do we copy people that we like and think, well, I've always thought of them as a good person, so I'll imitate what they do? That's not being a Christian either, because we're all individuals. God has formed us all in the womb, we're told in Psalm 139, to be what God wants us to be. So it's no good imitating anyone. It's not easy, this, because we have to be the individual that God wants us to be. There's a story told about a small child, and he sat in church and he says to his dad, Dad, what's a Christian? So his dad replied, a Christian is a person who loves and obeys God. He loves his friends and neighbours and even his enemies. He prays often, he's kind and gentle and holy, and he's more interested in going to heaven than all the earthly riches there is. That son is a Christian. The boy looked puzzled and looked around for a minute and went, have I ever met one, Dad? It's a sad indictment on the church that he was in, but it does make you think. It does make you think. John Bevere, who's a Christian thinker, I think he calls himself, says if we are going to be authentic and relevant, we must embrace truth and allow it to transform us to our very core. To our very core, the whole of our being. Stop acting like a Christian. Be one. So why do we do okay for a while? We come to church, like today, and hopefully you hear a message that is saying something to you. I hope it does. And then by Sunday afternoon, it's still there. And you're thinking, oh, I enjoyed that message. And then by Monday, you wake up and you think, oh, it's Monday, I'm back to work again, or whatever it is. And then by Tuesday, you've completely forgotten what the message was about. And then by Wednesday, it's got no relevance at all. and you're desperately waiting for the next Sunday whether you can hear another one and it will feel a bit better for a while. Is that how it feels for people? And if so, why? We can feel bad about ourselves. There can be a never-ending cycle of church, feeling good, and then going back to feeling I'm not good enough. I see that pattern in a lot of people a lot of times, where they think I'm not good enough. And I can't help but believe when I read the word of God that that's the evil one coming in. Because he loves coming in and saying that you're not good enough. It's one of the main things that he does, is to get into your mind and go, you're not as good as Jesus, you're not as good as Jean Tavener, you're not as good as Paul, and therefore you're not good enough and you'll never amount to anything, so you may as well give up altogether. In fact, certainly give up this week until Sunday comes, and then after that I'll have another word with you and I'll tell you again that you're not good enough. Jesus never said that, and he wants you to be all that you can be. And there'll be days when you're not everything that God wants you to be. And there'll certainly be days when you're not everything that you want you to be. But they're the days when God is moulding you and creating you, and you're learning from those things to develop into what God wants. And the other trick is compartmentalising our lives. And I do this, so I can talk about this from personal experience. I divide my life into little segments. So I've got the bit where I'm the minister at Roman Road Church and I'm preaching on a Sunday morning. So I wear a shirt and a tie normally and I look quite smart. I say the right things and I've got that bit. And then I've got the bit where at the moment I'm a chaplain at the prison. So I act like a chaplain at the prison should. And then I've got the bit where I look after students. So I do that bit. And then I've got the bit where I'm driving down the road and somebody pulls in front of me. And you don't want to know that person at all. Yeah? And then I've got that bit where I'm playing golf with me friends and whatever. And I've got all these different compartments. And within these compartments, for some reason, I feel like it's all right to act differently. I can be a different person when I'm playing golf to the person I am in the prison, to the person I am at Roman Road, to the person I am at home, and so on. And we compartmentalise our lives. And that makes life really hard for us. If you think about it, that makes life really difficult. If you're trying to act in different ways, in different places, we need that consistent, we need to be that consistent person that God wants us to be. Imagine somebody's visiting your house and they haven't been for a while. They're a really important person to you. It might be a friend you haven't seen for years or a relative that lives a long way away. What do? You put the kettle on. Yeah, I like your house. You always have the kettle on when I come to your house. Yeah? Make a fuss over them. And what do you do to the house? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but if anyone's coming to stay, we've got James and Jess and the girls coming to stay at our house, and I already know that the day before they come is going to be hard work, because we've got to have new bedding, we've got to have new towels, and they've got to be the best towels, we'll need new soap, we'll need everything in the right place. I'll be expected to make sure the bathroom looks clean and tidy and the grouting's done and the carpet will be, everything will be absolutely spot on. Do we do that in our lives for God though? Do we do that every day for our life, in our lives for God? We might do it when we come to church. We might do it when we're meeting with Christian friends. But do we do that in our lives when we're going to the normal places that we go? Is our life good enough for God? Is it what God expects it to be? Many Christians are actors in a drama, not pilgrims on a journey. I'll say that again. It's not my line. Many Christians are actors in a drama, not pilgrims on a journey. God wants us to be honest with him. And it doesn't matter how we're feeling. That's the really good thing about God. And it doesn't matter how we're feeling. If we're having a bad day, tell him, "Oh, Lord, I'm having a bad day today. I really don't feel close to you. I don't feel like I felt yesterday. Sunday's worn off and it's Wednesday. And I just think, oh, what's the point of it all?" Be honest with God. And God will bless that honesty with you rather than pretending to be something that you're not. Looking the part is not enough. Listen to these words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Woe to you, teacher of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." It's in Matthew 23, 27 to 28. Do you know who he was speaking to? Any ideas? Yeah, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We criticise them a lot, don't we? But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, religious leaders of the day, everyone looked up to them. Everyone thought they were wonderful. And Jesus said, "You hypocrites. You're saying all these things to people about how they should live their lives, and you're not doing it." Jesus and God don't like hypocrites. And yet so often, I, and possibly you, live a hypocritical life. We live a life that doesn't reflect other parts of the lives that we're living. And God can't use that. It's very difficult for God to use that because he can only use bits of it. He can only use bits of our lives, and it's hard. So he doesn't want hypocrisy. We need to stop acting like a Christian and just be one. Christianity comes from a heart devoted to God who loves us and is willing to serve the Lord. We're back to that spiritual core, that getting close to God. Our physical core is responsible for every move that our body makes, and so should our spiritual core be as well. Every move that we make should be led by our spiritual core. We should be looking to God and saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" One of the things that's impressed me about Ben, I like Ben, that I talked about before, is that every time he comes, like I said, every time he comes in, the first thing he does is have a brew, have something to eat, have a chat with people. And then before he does anything, he goes into the chapel, he meets with God in prayer, he takes a list of people that he's met, and he asks God to guide him to the ones that he wants him to meet today. And he says that he does. And he says that even more wonderful than that, he can be going through a list of names, and he'll go through this list of names, and he'll go and talk to Fred on C-Wing or whatever. And while he's there, somebody in the cell next door will say, "Oh, I'm glad you've come, Ben. I wanted a word with you." And that's God. That's God moving in him. How often does that happen with you? And how often doesn't it happen with you because you're not doing the first bit, the bit that Ben does, the bit about meeting with God and saying, "Lord, use this day. Even though I'm feeling down, feeling fed up, I don't feel close to you. Lord, use this day." Because if we don't do that, how can God bless it? How can God use it? We're told to imitate Christ's external behaviour, being kind and compassionate and merciful without having that blessing by God, without bringing things to God. It's not pointless, but it's not as useful as if you bring in everything you are to God before you do it. We've said essentially that we become actors in a drama rather than pilgrims on a journey. Does your life feel like that? Just give it a moment to think about it. Do you feel that you're an actor acting out the part of a Christian? Or do you feel that you're a pilgrim growing with God as you move on in your life. If it's the first one, you need to pray to God and ask him that it will be the second one, because God wants us to be pilgrims as we move closer to him. I suppose one of the things you could ask yourself is, have you ever felt that you are acting something out? Have you ever felt during your life that you're trying to be something that you're not? Because again, God doesn't want that. He wants you with all your flaws and everything about you. He knows it anyway. So that's what he wants. He wants you to be real with him. I think that's the expression that you could use. Is the you that people see at church the same as the you that people see everywhere else? 1 Peter 2 verse 12. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. It's the difference. The difference between us and the world. And like I've said before, people very, very quickly pick up on somebody that isn't real. Somebody that is acting, they pick up on it incredibly quickly. How's your fruitfulness? That's another test that you can put yourself. A person's spiritual gifting does not define who that person is. The determination is the fruits of a person's life. We've all been given those fruits of the Spirit when we came to know God. How are we using them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. How are those in our lives? Are they in line with where God wants them to be? Are they even in line with where we want them to be? At a lower standard? Or are they miles away? Are there some of them where you think, I'm not loving. I'm not at peace at all. I'm in turmoil all the time. That's another measure that you can see whether you're acting like a Christian or whether you're a pilgrim on a journey. We need to be authentic. We need to be genuine. It's not possible to love God and not love other people. When Jesus spoke in that passage we read at the beginning, he talked about the first commandment and the second commandment as the most important one. The first one, to love God. The second one, to love other people as yourself. And that's a high bar, because we really love ourselves, if we're honest, don't we? Our world, whether we like it or not, goes around us. We're very egocentric. It's all about how I am. And then when we're okay, we start to look at the needs of others. And Jesus' teaching says that we need to reverse that. We need to look at the needs of others rather than the needs of ourselves. And once we do that, we start to make a difference. Couple more measures for you. Being light in the world. When it comes to being a light in the world, we are going to be a light. Everyone in this work, in this congregation, is going to be a light in the world. But God can use you as a candle, which is flickering in the darkness. He can use you as a light bulb or a lighthouse. It's up to you. It's up to you how close you are to God, to how much that light is going to shine. There's people in the world who are living in darkness because we are not shining brightly enough to draw them to the light. And only by getting closer to God can we shine the way that God wants us to. We're part of a strong army of men and women that refuse to act like Christians, but are determined to be authentic, determined to be real, to be ourselves, to realise that we're frail, that we're needy, that we're not always going to be in the place that we want to be, but we are always going to be in the place that God wants us to be. We're a people that should be willing to come to God and say, Lord, I don't feel good today. I don't feel close to you. I don't feel that I can do anything for you. Because then God can use you. Because at least you've been honest about the frailty that you've got. and he can turn that round. And then you'll stop acting like a Christian. So don't just act like a Christian. Be one by giving your lives to God. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to have to wait a minute now because our multitasking wife has got to come in from there and put the hymn on the back for us. But I can tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Yes, yeah. What are we waiting for? Has anyone got any particularly good news this week? I've shared a bit with you about the food bank. There's been good news about Christine, I think. I think it'll be good news for Alec as well, because I think he'll get the care that he needs. So that's good news. Yeah. Are there? All right, we've got a daffodil at the front as well, haven't we? Just one. Yeah, it's bent over, but it's there. It's trying its best. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. The hymn is "What a Friend We Have."